There, I think we're on. Technical difficulties, right, today. Not sure the chair was going to fall backwards, too. So, well, Father, we just give this over to you. Father, we pray for your presence, for your words, for insight just to who you are. We give you the glory, give you the praise. May my words be blessings to your ears and speak your heart. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We're talking a lot about identity, talking a lot about purpose, identity and purpose of where we are in Christ. Sometimes, though, we have to know where we are and who God is. One of the things that God says throughout the Old Testament is that you may know me, that there is no other God, that I am known, yada, in Hebrew is yada, 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 yada. And it means to know. It means an understanding. It means to discriminate, distinguish, to recognize, admit, acknowledge, to perceive, to know by experience. It also needs to be made known. To know the cause of, and to be known in a more intimate level. Stephanie had actually done this a little bit earlier. All the times it said that I am the Lord your God, and that you may know me. 104 times throughout Exodus, Kings, Psalms, Isaiah, Ezekiel. That God brought things about. He parted the Red Sea, took them out of Egypt. Why? So that the Israelites may know me, may know God, may know who he is, what he stands for, his power, his majesty, that he may be known by those around us. What I'm going to go to today is sort of an odd part of Scripture that is really, really cool. Habakkuk. I don't know if you guys know Habakkuk or not. Habakkuk took place right when the Babylonians were going to be coming into Israel and taking everybody captive. And Habakkuk complains, God, what are you doing? You're making this ruthless people, these people that have no regards for who you are, coming in, destroying us, complaining to God. And God answers his complaints. He goes, I am raising up the Babylonians. I am raising up the Chaldeans to come to judge, technically to destroy the kingdom of Israel. But why is that judgment taking place? The judgment's taking place so that Israelites may know the true God. They did not know God from their comfort of where they were at. They had to go through trials. They had to go through tribulations in order to actually know who God was. That's how it is in our life a lot of times. It's the hardest parts. It's the parts that come and grab our hearts and pull them apart that we learn who God is. Not always necessarily through the fun times. But also in that Habakkuk, when he's complaining and saying, how can you do this? God responds by, just wait. I am using the Chaldeans to bring you guys back to me, that you may know me. I'm going to disperse you. You're going to go into captivity. But they will be judged too for their ruthless acts. God will bring about judgment so that they know that I am God as well, too. Isaiah was during that time as well, too. And this is the interesting part. During that time, Isaiah prophesied about a king named Cyrus that wasn't even born, that wasn't even thought of at that point in time, that 150 years later, that prophecy was fulfilled. And the Babylonians were destroyed. but so that they may know that I'm God. We're going to look at Isaiah 45 today. And that's the prophecy that Isaiah spoke 150 years before this occurred. Isaiah 45, 1. We're going to go 1 to 7. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of, to subdue nations before him, and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him, so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor. Though you do not acknowledge me, I am the Lord, and there is no other God. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and I create disaster. I, the Lord, do all things. I am the Lord, there is no other. Talking to a man that didn't even exist at that point. Using him, a man that did not acknowledge God, to fulfill what God desired. Why? So that they may know who God is. That's like somebody from the Civil War saying, I'm going to prepare Biden to destroy America. You know, it's the same principle. 150 years pass before it comes about. But Cyrus is also used to bring Israel back to Jerusalem. He's the one that sent Nehemiah. He's the one that sent the Israelites back to their homeland. But what we're going to look at is today is those attributes that says, I am the Lord, know me. I am the God, there is no other. There is no other. We times take that for granted. What does that mean? We hear all the attributes of God, but we don't discuss them that much. We'll talk about them here and there, but not really look into them that often. The Old Testament describes God as very unique. He describes him as holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The word in Hebrew, I can't even pronounce, it's like Kaddish. But there's several meanings to that, or at least two meanings to holiness. When we think of holiness, we think of purity, we think of righteousness, the holiness that God imparts to us because he is holy and he is pure. But the primary meaning of holiness is a sacredness, apartness, set-apartness. God is separate apart from his creation. He is different. He is unique. He is other. He is not created. Anytime we try to put our attributes on God, we make him in creation. That's what's so hard. We are limited by our words. We are limited by what we know, what we experience, to try to recognize and know a God that's beyond comprehension, that's indescribable, unattainable, who placed the stars in the sky. So the only way we can do is we can only use things that we understand to explain a God that is beyond our comprehension. We know that God is infinite. But what does that mean? We can only define infinity by what it's not, because we cannot comprehend infinity. We are finite. So that means God is not finite. We are constricted by boundaries, by time, by space. I could not be here at Corona, in Kendallville, in Auburn, in Indianapolis, all at the same time. I am confined to this place, but not God. God is not confined to one location. We could send a spaceship out, and it can go on and on and on and on forever and ever. Will it reach the end of the universe? We don't know. As far as we know, the universe goes on. But yet God knows every inch of the universe. For he is not confined to the limits of this plane of existence. He is beyond that. He is infinite. He is not constricted by boundaries, by the world. The other thing that we can say that God is not is a word that theologians use is immutable. He is immutable, which to me, that's like a big word. What the heck is immutable? But what it mainly means is mutable is what all creation does. It's changeable. So immutable is not changeable. Every one of us in here has changed from the time we came into this room. Every second, a million cells die in your body. Isn't that great to think of? A million cells die every second you're sitting here. You're changing constantly. The good news is a million or more are being produced at the same time, but you're in constant change. That's just the definition of creation, that change occurs. The law of entropy, all things go to disarray. It's a law of physics. Unless energy is put into it. But God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And that should actually give us comfort, make us feel good. That we do not have a God who changes his mind, who changes who he is. If God would change, he would no longer be God. He would no longer be a divine being. He is the same yesterday and forevermore. The other way that we can look at God is, you know, one is by what he's not. So he's not finite, he's not changeable. In other words, he's infinite, and he is immutable. We take attributes that we know for ourselves and take them up to the highest degree. In other words, what we know, we expound and take it up to the highest level. One of those would be, of course, what we do every school child, gain knowledge. We gain knowledge, we learn, we understand. Like Ellie right now is going through a phase where she's learning a lot. You know, they don't say that kids learn a lot, but in those first years, they learn probably about half or more of what they're going to know their whole life. Because a lot of that stuff is just the basics on how to move, how to talk, how to walk. But everything I know is this compared to what God knows. There was someone that once put that on the board. He put a circle on the board and he says, "This is everything you know. This is your entire encompass of knowledge is right here in this circle." And then he drew a bigger circle that intersected the smaller one and said, "This is my range of knowledge. This is what I know. I know much more than you do. I know a lot that you do, but there is a small amount that you don't know that you know that I don't know, but there's a big part here that I know you don't know." And he goes, "How does that make you feel?" And it was pretty much, "You know, it makes me feel pretty small, like I don't know anything." But he says, "Take heart. For everything outside those circles, outside on that whole board, you know as much as I do about it. Nothing. There is so much more knowledge that none of us can even comprehend that God himself is the one that knows. We know science. God knows all science, or omniscience. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Nothing is unknown to him. We look then at the power of the ice storm, branches coming down. You know, that's pretty bad, right? But then you look at the tornadoes that went through the South. Destruction, stuff thrown around. Hurricanes, destroying coastlines. Volcanoes erupting. Mount St. Helens, when it erupted, destroying the area around it. And then mankind producing atom bombs, right? Atom bombs blowing up and destroying everything. The Death Star, if you go to Star Wars, blowing up whole planets. You know? That's a lot of power, isn't it? But to compare to God, they're a pop gun. A soft air pistol. A Nerf gun. Poof. No power whatsoever. Because God is all-powerful. He could destroy a planet. He could create a planet. He is all-powerful. We have to remember what God is like and his attributes. He is infinite. He is immutable. He is all-knowledge, omniscience. He is all-power, omnipotent. And he is because he is. God exists apart from himself. Being. What is being? Being is being here. Being is being you. Being is. You know? If there is not something that's being, it means that it is nothing, right? So the opposite of being is not being or nothingness. Nothingness. Can anything come from nothingness? If you had these like Play-Doh and blocks and buildings on a table and then you had this spot that had nothing, you put children in there, you said you have to sit at a station. These kids could build and create things, but yet the one that's by some has nothing in front of them, they would sit and stare at you going like, I can't make anything. There's nothing there. But yet, man in their ignorance says that all of a sudden, boom, the world came into being. Can a world come into being with nothing behind it? No, that's ignorance. If there is nothing, there is no being. God himself says, I am who I am. I am because I am. I get existence from myself, not from anything else. Our existence comes from God because in him we live, we move, we have our being. But God exists in himself. He is God alone. He is God alone. If he exists, if he ceased to exist, we would cease to exist. In other words, if God, the God, the divine God, had died on the cross, not God-man, at the time of his death, the world, everything around it would automatically disappear because it only exists because of God. And we exist only because of him. I think some of these things are important to remember on how and who God is. Because God has these attributes, because he is who he is, because he's infinite, immutable, omnipotent, omniscient, we are awed by his desire to know us. Through Christ alone, we have been saved. But yet, because of that, I think sometimes we take for granted our salvation. We take for granted that grace. We take for granted what God has done for us because we deserve it? No. That's what we start thinking and we take it for granted. It's His grace that saved us. In the end of that, He says how He is the God of light and the God of darkness. He brings prosperity and He brings calamity. We have to remember that God does all of that in order so that we may know Him. Too often here in America, we like to throw our bumper stickers on the back of cars saying, God bless America. God bless you. God bless this. God bless that. We don't put on there, God change us. God bring about what's needed in order for us to know you. We just search for God's blessings. We don't acknowledge his judgment. So therefore, we do not serve a God that exists. Because of these things, because of His holiness, because of everything He knows, His power, He cannot help, because of who He is, to judge that which is not of Him. Because it does not exist apart from Him. So in other words, sin in itself cannot exist in the presence of God because who He is. Grace covers it. His desire is that we know Him, and He will bring about anything He needs so that we will know Him. So what's that mean? It means praise Him when things are good. Praise Him when things are bad. Praise Him no matter what, because it's all coming down so that you may know that I am God. So this week, let's think about that. Let's think about who God is, what He's done, His attributes. Fall back in love with just how powerful He is, how amazing He is, how fearful we are of Him. But we rest in the grace that Christ came and made us into relationship with Him. Father, we thank You and we are amazed by Your glory. We are amazed by who You are. We stand in awe in Your presence. That the God who created, who called forth this world, who created the very hill that You passed away on, that You've created each and every one of us, that we may know who You are. And Father, we pray that You allow us to share and to let others know who You are. And we give You the honor and the glory and the praise. Amen.